Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Tonight, I'm going to end up in Isaiah 42. It's no surprise to some of you, 1 through 13. God has told me just to gaze upon that scripture for 40 days. And so that's where I'm headed, Isaiah 42, 1 through 13. And I'm going to walk through that again. But there's some things that are really on my heart that I believe that if you can pin them down, meaning write them down or get them in your heart, some of the things I'm going to share with you tonight is going to help you and encourage you in your journey. And it's going to help the body of Christ. If anybody's been around us for any period of time, you know that we're about the kingdom of God advancing. We want to see it happen in this region. We want to see it happen everywhere. And I believe that we're coming to a climactic time in history. And God wants his people ready. And I'm going to speak about some things tonight to challenge you to get ready. But one of the things that needs to emerge, our calling is to emerge in the place where we allow the Spirit to have its way within us. The Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said, it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come. And so many times, we don't access the Holy Spirit to help us to grow in revelation of the Word or to move forward in our calling or destiny. And I believe that is probably one of the biggest problems that the body of Christ has. And I just, from experience, and I know in my own self, I struggle at times because it's so easy to get in your own thoughts and your own head and your own knowledge of the Word of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within us is what will cause us to emerge into a place of foundation that we can begin to have faith to move forward. If we try to do it any other way, I'm just telling you, if you try any other way, if you just try to gain knowledge out of the Word and you're not activating the Holy Ghost that's inside of you, he said it's better that it comes and that it's there to emerge you into a place where your faith begins to arise. Now listen to this. When you get a revelation, all the time, when you get a spiritual revelation, the Holy Spirit is giving you that revelation. And when you get it, whether it be a prophetic word or the Word of God having its way with you, what happens to you? Guys, listen back in the back. Everybody, everyone, listen. What happens to you? It builds a foundation of faith. You cannot move forward in faith without the Spirit giving you revelation inside. I'm telling you, right now we need to let the Spirit give us revelation so that we can walk through the days ahead, so that our faith can arise. If we're living out of our mind, if we're living out of our own just will, if we're living out of our own effort, we're not going to be a bride that's made herself ready, that has paid attention to every detail, so we're ready to enter into what God has for us. And it's only through the Holy Ghost. And it seems like he's been put on the side. You know, Paul, I'm going to hit you with this. Paul, he said, I pray in tongues, in the Spirit, more than anybody else. Now, this guy wrote most of the entire New Testament. And this guy says, you know, and of course, love is the greatest. We know that. And God will move on us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But by praying in the Spirit, Paul said it was to energize you and to build you up so that you can begin to walk forth. Well, when we receive Christ, we do receive the Holy Spirit within us. But if we don't activate the Holy Spirit in us, then we won't have a solid foundation that will build our faith to move forward in the days ahead. And I'm going to say that over and over. I want to ask you really a poignant question. You don't have to answer. You don't have to raise your hand. But really ask yourself, how much do I access the Holy Spirit day to day? Or how much am I in my head? Or how much am I in my old experience? You know, you get a prophetic word. Listen, you get a prophetic word. And sometimes people experience that prophetic word and they're all pumped up because it was by the Spirit and it gave them revelation and it strengthened their faith. And they said, yes, yes. And then 20 years later, there's dust on the prophetic word and they're wondering, what happened? 20 years later, what happened? You know why?
because they didn't activate through the power of the Holy Spirit what was pronounced over them. They didn't engage their spirit to say yes to it and allow the Holy Spirit to prepare them and get them ready for the days ahead. I'm going to say this over and over on Tuesday, Sunday. All of our folks, I know they're on board with it in the same place. If we don't have the Holy Spirit having its way in our lives, we cannot emerge into a solid foundation to begin to stand forth in faith in God. If you think about it, every time you got a revelation from somebody or somebody spoke or the word came alive, what is it called? The living word through the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit made that word so alive in you and you just knew it was God, you knew it was the Holy Spirit, what happened? You had faith, as I always say, to take on hell with a water pistol. It didn't matter because you knew it was God. Now, the point I'm making is, there are going to be choices that all of us need to make right now. We needed to make them a long time ago, but things are beginning to ramp up. And there's going to be choices that can only be made by the power of the Holy Spirit within you, giving you understanding and truth and revelation. There's going to be a choice of two men. You're going to have to choose two men. Two men are going to be your choice. One is a lamb. And one is a beast. And it's coming to the earth. It's here now. You're going to have to choose Jesus or you're going to have to choose the beast. There's a choice of two men. There's a choice of two women that's coming. One is a bride and the other is a harlot. And there's a choice of two cities that you need to stand within. One is Jerusalem and the other one is Babylon. So these choices are upon us now. And God said He promised us, every one of us, that He'd make us ready. And if we're not ready, it's because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to activate the things within us to walk in the fullness of what He's called us to be. That's why we're not ready. Pastor Bob is not going to get you ready. Pastor Bob is not going to be anybody, or Londa, or anyone else, is not going to be your excuse. If they would have only. Well, right now, it's between you, it's between your choices, and it's between the Holy Spirit activating and pressing in and saying, yes, more of the Holy Spirit. I want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want to understand what we sing about tonight. I'm always blown away. What we sing about is usually what I have to share. We sung about the power of God within us. That resides, that rose Jesus from the dead. That same Spirit is living in us. It's here. And I am concerned about the overall climate of the body of Christ and where we are. When He's called us as pastors and evangelists and prophets. When He's called us to teach. When He's called us to worship. And we take it lightly. And I'll tell you this. If we take it lightly, I'm telling you, we're going to be sucked into a system that is so seducing, you have no idea how seductive this system is. And it's called the harlot Babylon. And it's happening all over the earth. It's not just lust. It's greed. It's economic power. It's status. Anybody that boasts of themselves and say they have it together, it's a lie. No one has it together if they're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak and live through them. They don't have it together. And we'll be sucked in to follow these people. I am so tired. I grew up in Gary, Indiana. We're one of the last white guys to leave an all-black school. I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been in Rwanda. I understand racism, and the enemy is trying to divide this nation and divide the church and divide us because we won't follow the Holy Spirit. We're sitting in weakness because we won't allow it to have its way in us and speak to us. And God has me looking in the mirror and saying, what are you doing? You know what I called you to. You know who you are. And guess what? It is not for anyone's glory but God's. It's not for anyone's ministry. Look at my ministry. It's not about that. It's about Him. You get a chance to sing for Him, to pray in His presence, to be in His Word. You take the Holy Spirit and you run with it and you say, yes. Don't try to get all this knowledge in your head so you can sound like you really are spiritual. You're spiritual by the power of the Holy Ghost in you and nothing else. It really has everything to do with how humble you are. How humble you are. When somebody has a problem, they're having a faith crisis, and we say, oh, you don't have enough faith, you need this, you need that. We're not at all being like Jesus. People struggle, and we need to enter into those sufferings and the fellowship of them and understanding that we're more than conquerors. Ask you a question. Every trial you ever went through, when it was really pressing and it was huge, what did it cause you to do? It caused you to press in and know and hear the voice of God. We need to be praying and meditating and being in the Spirit more than anything else. We need to set time aside to do that. And God will open doors and do great things. The enemy is trying to seduce you. He's trying to cause your faith to begin to waver because you're not fellowshipping in the Holy Ghost. There is no foundation to faith except through revelation. And revelation only comes through the Holy Spirit. That's it. He's the one that draws you. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches you. He's the one who comforts you. He's the one who will cause you to magnify the magnificence of Jesus and not get caught into any performance-based spirituality or worship, because he convicts you of that. The Holy Spirit gives Jeremiah revelation so that Daniel, one of the greatest Hall of Fame intercessors in the Old Testament, can understand the revelation from Jeremiah, and he can intercede and pray and know that they're 75 years in captivity and then they're going to be released. It's by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. And he was moving on them. We have him in us. In us. And when it begins to happen and move and work and change things, we got to be tested. We got to be humble, because it's so easy to say, oh, look, man, look what's happening. It's so easy. The point that I'm making is that we're in a climactic time and we have to depend upon the Word of God. It's going to be a choice between two men. It's going to be a choice between two women. And it's going to be a choice between two cities. And that's what we're moving into. I want to also tell you this through the Holy Spirit, I believe, that I am so thankful for the things that have happened in this region through prayer and salvation and movements of God and what God's done. And for revival that's broken out. But see, through the Holy Spirit, you know the revelation that gives you faith to proceed and persevere to the end is that there is the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit that has ever happened on the face of the planet, that will ever happen in all biblical history. And it's coming to us. And it's coming to the church. And it's coming to the lost. And it's coming to the prodigal. And it's coming to the burned out Christian that doesn't move in the Holy Spirit anymore, but is saved and burned out because they've been trying to do everything in their mind and their own will. And they're burned out and they're hiding and they're in shame. And the Holy Ghost is coming to pull them out of that and bring them right back into their calling and destiny. It's the greatest outpouring of all history. And we get to be a part of that generation. It's in Isaiah 42, 1 through 13. It's all there. And that's what God wants to do. I mean, this thing is just like the revelation that's within us gives us the impartation to build our faith and to walk within the Spirit. You know what it does? It awakens us. It awakens us. Woo! You know, and then if you fall asleep, you fall asleep. And this, you know, what I'm saying is not saying. I'm speaking, you know, I'm always, you talk to Londa, any one of us. We're always talking about, hey, this. We're looking in the mirror. And we're saying, come on. Come on. And these silly religious games of how people act around each other is absolutely ridiculous. It's just stinking ridiculous. And we're acting like we got to be this way or be that way. No, you just got to be who God's called you to be. You're free to be yourself in Christ. That's what he wants. And I wrote this down. This revelation that we get is the ground in which we stand upon that strengthens us in faith for today and tomorrow. Okay. All I have is yours. When we were singing that, I had to write it down. All I have is yours. All I have is yours. He really wants you to. It's not that it's not that you can't have things. I'm not saying that. But he wants to make sure that everything you do have is his. That you've committed it all to him. That you're not holding on to anything. Your wife, your husband, your children, your car, anything. Your land. You know, you don't hold on to anything. And the reason I'm burning in this is because you guys got to be ready. You know, I look at the younger generation right now. What are you doing? You're called, man. You're called to burn. You're not called to go through the motions. That was never the calling. All of us, moms and dads, you know, uncles and aunts in the spirit, we weren't called to go through the motions. We were called to press in and to know what God has for us. Jesus, under his leadership, listen, Jesus, under his leadership, is bringing history to his desired conclusion. The Father has a desired conclusion for the bride. I've really struggled with this because I've always thought, how is the bride going to be ready without spot or wrinkle? Is it just the grace that saved us? Is it the blood of Jesus? Yeah, I'm justified by the blood of Jesus. That's how I can stand before God, because of the blood of Jesus. It justifies me, okay? That's how I can be justified. But what is this thing about the bride being without spot or wrinkle and she's pure and she's made herself ready? What is this? How does that happen? It's been a real question. I'm only going to touch a little bit on it, but I know that it has a lot to do with what we're going to go through. It has a lot to do that in the midst of struggle or trial, we always get purified. We always get into that place that we're trusting him. And Jesus, now we will either be in alignment with Jesus or we're going to be in alignment with this world system. Please, please don't get caught up in this political garbage. Please. I pray. You know what? What I'm going to vote for, I'm going to vote for somebody that loves God and desires God's ways. I'm not voting for anybody else. I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, whatever. It doesn't matter. If both areas are corrupt and our system is messed up, and the only answer is God for this nation. And make sure that you shout that from the rooftops. Don't get caught into these political conversations when it's just a bunch of garbage. Man, when anybody promotes themselves and... I'm going to tell you this. Anybody that promotes themselves and talks about how great they are, they are completely, absolutely in alignment with the devil and his ways, because that's what he does. But they're saying some good things, yeah. They are. And maybe that's stirring up some things for people to stand up and be who they are in Christ. This is an hour to stand. You're going to get a little bit of everything tonight, I'm trying to say. Oh, I used to drive stagecoach, and when I had to stop four horses, it was real hard. I really did. Sure, Bob. Anyway. Two global worship movements. I got to talk about this. It's the false worship movement of the beast. And then it's the global worship movement of the Lamb, Isaiah 42. You're going to be a part of that. You're going to be a part of that. And now listen, the Lamb of God, who represents the pinnacle of all that men and women can be in Christ by the grace of God. It's the pinnacle, the Lamb of God. It's his bride singing. And then the beast, who represents the pinnacle of all that men and women can be in rebellion and wickedness. And if you look at Joel 3:14, I'll hit this real quick. Joel 3:14, it says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." That's what we're edging to. That's what we're moving to. We're moving to the valley of decision. And we have to make a choice between two men, two women, and two cities. And you say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm telling you, the pressure will be unbelievable. The enemy, you haven't seen anything yet. But you haven't seen anything yet with the power of the Holy Ghost either. And we're going to shine brightly. And we even sung that tonight about being a light, reflecting. And then that there's that crescendo in Revelation where the bride and Jesus, they sing together in union. And they thunder through the earth and through the universe because they thunder. Now they're both in authority and in union. And the redeemed is singing with the Lamb of God. And she's been beautified, if that's a word. I think it is. She's been beautified and she's singing with him. And they're singing together and thunder is breaking out. Because the bride, this bride, she made herself ready. She didn't connect herself to a world system. Again, Joel 3:14, multitudes in the valley of decision. I believe that's where we are. We're arriving in that, and in that moment of time. The nations will choose, and again, they'll have to choose between the men, the women, and the cities. Which one will you join? I put that question, which one will you be a part of? Of course, you'll say, I want to be a part of the Lamb. I want to be a part of Jerusalem. I want to be the bride. Of course we would say that. But without the Holy Ghost and allowing it to have its way, we really take a massive risk if we're not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit each and every day. The harlot in the great city, it will seduce people in a religious relationship. It will seduce people, the harlot will seduce people, this economic city, in a religious relationship. Because the city will have great wealth and great influence, and people will not be able to resist it because they'll think there's safety in it. And it's a lie. Look at Luke 16. Yeah, Luke 16, 13 and 15. You know this verse probably pretty well. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. There it is. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. So that city and men and women are going to be highly esteemed because of their economic favor. And they'll be lovers of self. They won't be lovers of God. And you look at what the scripture says. They're highly esteemed among men. It's detestable in the sight of God. I didn't say that. Jesus did. That's what he's saying. The greatest harvest of souls in redemptive history is going to happen, but many are going to be seduced and drawn away. And that's why we're sounding an alarm. That's why we want people to be intimate with Jesus. We want them to get healing. We want them to be close. We don't want anybody to live off somebody else's anointing. We want you to live off your own anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's how you live. Not off somebody else. If I can just get next to that person. Now, I'm not saying that people don't carry things, because they do. They carry anointing. But the anointing is you. And if I got this right, if I got this right, and if you stay on task with Jesus and you keep listening and pressing into the Word and you keep growing and you keep cultivating the Holy Spirit, it says that you're going to shine so brightly in this last day generation. You're going to shine like you would never imagine with the light and the presence of God. And again, you can't do anything to a dead man or a dead woman. When you're dead to yourself and you're alive to the Spirit and you're alive to what Jesus has, there's no fear controlling you except the fear of God, because you love him so much and you're in awe of him. That's it. It's time to wake up and get out of any religious jargon. It's time to get out of that stuff and cultivate your own anointing. And don't drag on anybody's, you know, coattails and say, you know, I'm with this, I'm with that. No, you're with Jesus. You're with the greatest of all times. You're with Jesus. And if you got Jesus, you got it. Jesus will use other people in your life to navigate you through troubled waters and to bring you into healing. But if you got Jesus, you got everything. This world system that I'm talking about, that is anti to the kingdom of God, is a victim system. It's a system to bring you in and to be a victim. That you've got to have this and you've got to have that, and if only this and only that. And God wants to crucify absolutely all of that talk and all of that within you and me, so you can be anointed and walk in your calling. You can't judge things by little crowds, big churches, small churches, da-da-da, this city, that city. You can't judge things that way. You got to know that the greatest power on the planet lives and resides inside of you. And you got to tap into it. And then you got to be humble when it starts exploding out of you. You got to be humble. Okay, the bride will set, this is in Revelations, you can pin this. Revelations 19, 1 through 5. I can't go through the whole thing. I think I read a little bit of it. The bride, you and I, the bride of Christ, will celebrate the destruction of Babylon. We're going to celebrate it. We're going to see it happen. We're going to celebrate the destruction of Babylon, the evil that seduced men and women forever. We're going to celebrate it. That's who we are. James 4, 4. Got it up on the screen. I don't know if I can get to it fast enough. Come on, James. There you are. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility or enmity toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Okay. Well, the Lord told us to go out into the world to share. Absolutely. He went into all kinds of places and shared. Absolutely. But he wasn't a part of it. He wasn't a part of it. And there's a warning right now. And it says so many of us are like dabbling and trying to be a part. You know, we don't want to be religious, so we go overboard to be non-religious. Okay? And you know what I'm talking about. Be careful. Because there's seduction there. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be sober. You need to understand the time in which we're living. I'm not condemning a glass of wine. I'm not at all. But I am condemning joining ourselves with the world. And I've done it. You've probably done it. And we got to come out of that. And that's what the scripture is saying. Turn to 1 John. This is a powerful one. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. That was my introduction right there, so we got a little ways to go. 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And here it is. This is good. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. That's us. Is God's grace sufficient? Absolutely. There's no condemnation in this message. There's only pressing into the Holy Ghost to energize you, to build up your revelation in God so that you can begin to walk in faith more than you ever have. There's no faith. I question the faith without revelation. And there's no real revelation without the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's knowledge and there's puffed upness that we act like we have faith. And that keeps, you know, the wolves away. But that's not going to get us through the days ahead. It's not. And so I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging myself. Press into the Holy Ghost. Press in. Don't allow the voices to condemn you. Don't let it happen. Pride and lust are the fuel of this world system and this Babylon system, this harlot system. Pride and lust are the fuel. Satan, listen to this. I felt that this was good. Satan thrives in men and women. This is what I said earlier. Satan thrives in men and women who exalt themselves. Let that be a pen thing you pin down. You write it down and you make it, you're aware. Satan thrives in men and women who exalt themselves and their ability to succeed apart from God. Know anybody like that? Satan thrives in those areas. You see how easy it is to be sucked into almost anything? Because you know what? You were created with a good heart. You want good things to happen. You want things to change. But I'm telling you, if it's not of God, beware. We've already not been on our toes and where we need to be in the spirit, and look where it's gotten us. Look what's happened to our nation. Be able to stand up any place, anywhere, anytime, give an account, be able to discuss things with people and do it in love and do it in truth and don't do it in argument. Don't be argumentative. Don't let them trip you up. Don't worry about that. Just say, this is exactly where, you know, I believe, and this is what I believe, and this is what the Word of God says. And, oh, you believe that archaic thing? You know, yes, I do. I've experienced Jesus, and I've experienced the Holy Spirit. Come on, is that some kind of hocus pocus? No, it's not. This is what it is. This is what happens every day. What? Can I have some? That's what will happen. They'll be drawn to you. You know it happens. And maybe it's happened. And maybe now it's kind of a lull time. Or maybe it's never happened. But now is the time to say yes and press in. Just want to encourage you in that way. Okay, let me say that last thing. Satan thrives in men and women who exalt themselves and their ability to succeed apart from God. It's their agenda. It's their will. It's their purpose. They're content to live. How many people do you know that's content to live without God? And then you really got to ask yourself in a mirror situation, just you and God, and said, are you ready to live without him? You know when you're tested to see if you're living with him or without him is when a trial comes or something happens and you kind of find out what your first knee-jerk reaction is. That knee-jerk reaction tells you, probably not fellowship. Does that mean that I get triggered and say something to my boys and I say I'm sorry 5 minutes later? Absolutely. But the premise here is to begin to press in. And as Paul said, the guy that pressed in Galatians, he said, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. That's why Paul was able to come to the end of his time. And then he says this, as first he was kind of puffed up. At the end of his time, he says this, I am the sinner of all sinners. Paul says this. How did he say that? He said that through revelation of the Spirit and beholding the love and the mercy and the grace of God. And he said, oh, woe is me, because he knew. And he could say that. Oh, wretched man that I am. There's no puffed up pride in that. It's not only brokenness. And Jesus takes you back. Hey, think about Peter. And when Peter denied Jesus. And then think about how fast Jesus took Peter right back and loved on him and spoke to him. And how about Peter when he said, who do you say that I am, Peter? Where do you think that came from? Knowledge? No. It came from the Holy Spirit letting Peter know that this is the Son of God. And Jesus says, no man gave you that answer. You got that from the Father. You got that from the Father. I'm telling you that all of you can get stuff from the Father. All of you in this room. And you can hear it. There's time that poverty spirit or that victim spirit, you just eye to eye and say, enough of you. Enough of your stinking lies. I'm created in the image of God. And you press into it. Okay, then this gets good. Now wind this up here. The bride will emerge. This is where I was always struggling. How is it going to happen? The bride will emerge victorious. The bride will emerge pure and ready. She will be purged. She will be more than ever. And when she's purged, she's going to turn to him. She's going to know him. And by the Spirit, she's going to allow herself at that purging point to be trained and prepared by the Holy Ghost to do exactly what the Father wants her to do. And he wants her to make herself ready for his Son. This love between the bride of Christ and the Son of God is far greater than love between a son and a father. That's why he said, leave your parents and cleave to your wife. It's greater than the love the Father has for the Son is the love that this bride is going to have for Jesus. And we become the family of God. We become the Father's family, and the Father's rejoicing because in his plan, in his plan and his mysteries, he's created an event on the earth that's caused the bride to fall head over heels, lovesick, and depending upon Jesus. And it's through purging. It's through pruning. It's through trial. And we say, I've had enough of that. Oh, I'm telling you, you want more. You're going, shut up. I'm not asking for more. But what I'm saying is that when that relationship has begun to take root, that even in the purging, even in the trial, it's a beautiful romantic, it's a beautiful emotional bond between you and the Son of God. And you're going, oh, I can't believe this. And people think you're weird. People think you're strange. When the Holy Spirit is moving in you and having its way, people are going to think you're weird. People are going to think you're strange. Just because you're in love. And nobody can steal it from you because you've been captivated. And that happens through the stirring of the Holy Spirit. He's telling me, I can't do it any other way. Can't play the game. Prepared and perfected in love. She emerges out of the wilderness. She emerges, the wilderness is the world of lust and greed. She emerges out of it in love. There's been a divine process that the Father has put into motion to cause beautification of the bride to make herself ready for the Son. And the Father has the plan. It's in the book of Revelation. It's in the book of Daniel. It's in the book of Matthew. It's a plan that He has constructed. And we are overcomers, we're victorious, we're beautiful, we're pure, we're purged, and we're ready. And we're ready to sing and thunder with our King. I'm telling you, this is how it's going to play out. I'm telling you, it's going to happen this way. There's just too much scripture, too much revelation. Trained up. She's trained up for what? A moment. Woo! Any bride wants to make sure that all the wedding details are in place, right? Got it all right. It's going to be us. Everything's right. We're ready. He's coming. Ah! I know it sounds silly, but it's not. Now, listen, and I'll close with reading Isaiah 42. Her life is a testimony. Her life, the bride, is a work of the Father. Her life is the work of the Father that's taken her through trials, that's taken her through things to purify her. And guess what He's purifying her from? He's purifying her from a false religious system and a false religious world. And He's purifying her to come out from that. So any residual stuff we have from the past is going to be healed and purified and burned away from us. You know why? Because now He's ready, the Father, to reveal His bride. Fully and absolutely to this. You know, I think no one knows the time but the Father, okay? The Father knows, oh, they're ready. It's time. And now He's saying, and He looks, she's coming down the aisle, you know? Whoa! I know it sounds crazy. That's what's going to happen. She's coming down the aisle. She's ready. She's purified. God in His wisdom establishes a great prize for His Son's heart. And the prize is you and me. Are you kidding me? Yes. No, I'm not. That's what it is. Now, I spoke that, and that can be knowledge, but I challenge you to let the Holy Spirit say, reveal to me what I am, Father, to your Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you see me? How do you view me? Not how my dad views me, not how my mom views me, not how my brother or sister views me, but how do you view me? So we would enter into a journey of love. And it's what I said earlier. It runs deeper. This love runs deeper than between a son and a father. It's a bridegroom conquering king and his bride. It's a faithful bride that's made herself ready. And she hasn't overlooked anything. If you would turn to Isaiah 42 real quick. Okay. I'm going to break this down in four categories. If you got a pen, pin it. And if you show up without a pen, I'll tell you what. And you know, I'm not exalting her. She knows. Last week, Londa said some stuff. At first, I was trying to get where she was going. And then I got where she was going. And she said some stuff. And I wrote some of the stuff down that she said. And I'm going to tell you, I got like all kinds of mileage out of it because it was revelation. And if you don't pin that stuff down and look at it again, then you're just like, you know, letting it go. Or do you do that thing, oh, I'm going to listen to it on podcasts, and you never do? Yeah. So grab these things. Number one, verses 1 through 4 is this, the vision of divine justice. And I'm going to read through this, and here's what I'm saying before you guys, so you can understand. This is a small blueprint of what's happening right now and in the days to come and what's going to take place. If you'll read this and ask for this Holy Spirit to give you revelation. When I started reading this, I started asking the Holy Spirit to show me things, and I didn't grab any commentaries or any study. And just start showing me. And then I started asking other people, I want you to read this and tell me what you got. I asked Jerry Reeder the other day, please read Isaiah 42, 1 through 13 and tell me what you see. And I said, no commentaries. He goes, okay. So he's going to get back to me on it. So the first part is the vision of divine justice, and it's verses 1 through 4. The Father says, behold my servant. What you become, you become what you behold. So he says, my servant, and this same scripture is mentioned in Matthew 12. Jesus quotes it. He says, behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. He uses a human term of emotion. He says, my soul delights. The Father says that. And here he goes. He says, I put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. So we know that in the scripture, he's bringing forth justice to the nations. It's going to happen. And look at verse 2 and 3. This is kind of hard a little bit to understand, but it says, he will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. That seems a little weird. But he's not going to do that. You know why he's not going to do that? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is going to move upon the bride, and she's going to reflect his love. And it says this. He says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. A bruised reed he will not break. Those that are lost right now, he's not going to break them. He's not going to scream at them in the street. He knows that the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit's coming, and he's going to draw them. So he's not going to break those lost people. He's not going to condemn them to hell. He's not going to break them. He's going to draw them by the outpouring. And it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. That Christian that's having a faith crisis, or that Christian that's struggling, and they've walked away from the church, and there's just a little bit of light coming, a little dim light from that wick. He says, I'm not going to extinguish them. The church would, not everybody, would bring condemnation instead of drawing them back. And so he says he's not going to do that. And he will faithfully, truthfully bring forth justice. Justice is what? Making wrong things right. It's his rule. It's his government coming forth on the earth. He will not be disheartened. Here's a good thing, because we're, again, it's divine justice, the vision of it. He's not going to be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Now, verse 5 through 9 is to partner with God and prophesy for a release of justice. And that's what verses 5 through 9 are saying. It says, thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it. He's our source of life and spirit. Look at that. To those who walk in it. Woo-wee. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. How are we righteous? We're justified by the blood of Jesus. That makes us righteous. We're justified by the blood of Jesus. We cannot come before God or anyone else on our own merit or what we've done. It's only through the blood. And we are a justified people. And he says, I've called you in righteousness. That's how we've been called. I will also hold, this is so powerful. Look at this. This is what's going to happen when things are, anarchy's happening, things are shaking. He says, I will also hold you by the hand. I'm going to hold your hand. It's very personal. I'm going to watch over you. How much more can you get than that? You're coming in partnership with the prophecy of God being released all over the earth. And he says, you're going to come in agreement with that. I'm going to hold your hand and I'm going to watch over you. And you're going to stand in righteousness because of the blood of my son. Then he says, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people. And look at this, as a light to the nations. We're going to shine brightly to all the nations, because the whole nations, all the nations are going to be in anarchy. It's going to be crazy. But we're going to be a light to them. It says to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon. That is so powerful. We're going to be so walking in the anointing. We're going to be praying over people. Things are going to be happening. They're happening now, but they're going to increase. And it says, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. You could just preach that verse right there for an hour. And then verse 8, it says, I am the Lord. He once again, he's saying, listen, this is the partnership you're in. This is how it's going to be played out. You're partnering, you're prophesying for the release of justice. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another. That shows us right now. He's not going to do that, nor my praise to graven images. We're not going to worship other gods, and he's not going to allow it to happen. Behold, this is so good. Look at verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things before they spring forth. Look what it says. It's prophecy. I proclaim them to you, John Johnson. Every one of you in this room, say your name. I proclaim them to you. Before it happens, I'm letting you in on what's about to happen. That's why you're sitting in this room tonight. And I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. You know, God has prophesied many things over you, over me, over even this ministry. And I'm not in one inch of any quagmire saying it's not going to happen, because God spoke it and things are going to come to pass. And the same thing in your life, and they're going to come to pass. And he's going to proclaim them to us so that we can proclaim them to others. If you would get a hold of Isaiah 42, 1 through 13, and just begin to get this and say, well, let me show you a little blueprint. Now, there's many more, Daniel, Revelation, Zechariah, all these. But let me just show you a little blueprint. What's going to happen? And this is where it gets good. It gets good in verse 10. In verse 10, I put down a global worship prayer movement at his return. This is where the song of the Lord breaks forth. The reason the song of the Lord breaks forth is because the government of God is established, is the throne of God. Around the throne of God is intercession. Jesus is interceding on our behalf. There's intercession, there's prayer. Around the throne of God, there's worship continuously. And so this song breaks out all over the world. Why? Because God's government is about ready to come down to earth. And how does he function in his government? He functions from a place of prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. It's going on day and night. That's how his government flows. It always has. And that's why the tabernacle of David was so important to David. He knew it. He saw it. And he's going to be there again. David is going to be there again in Jerusalem. And the new Jerusalem is coming down. So there's a global worship movement. But this is how it gets good. In the midst of craziness going on, people freaking out, having fear, and being sucked into the Babylon system, here we are singing to the Lord. Sing his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements of where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Their village people, they go up to the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. Now, this is the song that breaks out everywhere. And who's singing it? The bride. She's singing it from all over the earth. And although things are shaking and quaking, she's worshiping, she's singing. It's what sustains her. The presence of God is there. The Holy Spirit is moving her in the coastlands, in the cities, in the wilderness, all over the earth. This is not Americanized or Westernized biblical commentary. This is global stuff. It's happening everywhere. And the song is beginning to be sung. Why? Because in Revelations it says the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit's resting on the bride, in the bride, and she starts singing, and she can't stop singing, and she can't stop praying, and she can't stop praising, and she keeps rejoicing. What does this do? What does this do to the Father, and what does this do to the Son? What it does is verse 13. And what happens is the Father says, Now, son, she's singing to you. She's coming down the aisle and she's singing and she's praising and says, now, son. And Jesus splits the eastern sky. And look at verse 13. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry, and he will prevail against his enemies. This is not the Jesus at the beginning. This is the Jesus that through mercy and love and grace and the outpouring of a great harvest and the bride illuminating the earth and singing, this is the bride that's made herself ready. This is the Jesus that finally, okay, evil is evil. They've chosen, they've walked away. They're choosing the Antichrist. They're choosing the beast. They're choosing Babylon. And they're choosing a harlot. And he says, now I'm coming back. And boom. He explodes on the earth with bringing forth justice. Just another sermon or just absolute reality? Enough to say, stir me up. Let me run. Let me be ready. Let me enter in. Isaiah 42, 1 through 13. It's a blueprint. That last, I put down there, his coming, and he cleanses every sphere of society. He cleanses the earth. I had several people pour into me about this, and I'm just like saying, yes, yes, yes. So there's a choice. Two men, get that. Remember that. A lamb and a beast, two women, a bride and a harlot, two cities, Babylon or Jerusalem. And that's what every one of your friends and every one of your family members are going to be faced with in the days ahead. That's why we have to be rooted and grounded in the love of God and allowing the Spirit, that the Spirit is what gives us revelation and understanding. Why don't you guys stand? I'll just pray for you. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would move in our midst and help us and lead us. Burn in us, I pray. Create hunger in us to want more, to come in agreement, come in partnership with your vision, Father, that you have for your bride to be ready for your son on an amazing time of history, and that the earth and the universe thunders because she is singing with your son in union, in unity. I ask today, God, that you would allow your word to run swiftly in us, and that all of us would be strengthened in our inner man, that you would create more hunger in us, that you wouldn't let us leave us alone, that you would just draw us. But Lord, I know that we both have to participate. We draw near to you, you draw near to us. We can't just wait for you to do it. You'll work with us when we say yes. And so, Lord, we're saying yes tonight. We're saying yes to the gift that you gave us in the power of the Holy Ghost. And we're saying more, more, more revelation. Just let it happen. Let it have its way. Right now, I just ask, Holy Spirit, would you just seal the folks tonight in this place? Just bring them into that place of hunger. Bring them into that place of revelation of your word and prophecy to release your justice. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. We just commit our lives to you. Thank you for these wonderful people that have come out here tonight. And thank you that we're going to live all eternally with you. And thank you that you're going to hold our hand and you're going to watch over us. And thank you that we don't have to live by the fear of the world, but we live by the fear of God and all of you and your plan. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.